This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 3, Episode 29, as Andy is still moving. Apparently, he's moving his entire apartment building into this new apartment building because I feel like he's been packing boxes, taking down tables and bed frames and everything, and I don't know what he's doing with it all or what he's actually doing, but God, everyone, just thoughts and prayers go out to Andy this week because he's just been moving every single day. Now that Andy's not here, I'm not ripping a solo today. I have Frank Franny, who's actually been on the podcast before, and you know, we're excited to be here. Right now, before we get into Frank, I just want to say we are recording this live during the Ranger game against the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's currently 3-2, so if anything happens live, you'll hear us react to it. So I got to ask Frank, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it. And yeah, definitely thoughts and prayers for Andy. Moving is an awful process. I know you've done it a few times. I've done it myself. Live in my second house now, which is moving into a house with kids is like a whole nother thing. So for anyone out there, if you can afford it, I would say hire a moving company, let them do it for you. I think if I ever have to move again, that'll be the way I go because it's an awful, awful process. So hope he's making out okay, and thanks for having me back. Glad I could fill in.
Yeah, no, excited to be here. And, you know, obviously we can talk a little bit about the game going on right now. It's 3-2 Maple Leafs. Reeves scores his first and second of the season. Kind of out of nowhere. You know, I know it was kind of a narrative that he's been itching to score his first goal as a New York Ranger. Now he gets two against the Toronto Maple Leafs and keeping this team in there. You know, what are your thoughts on him scoring the two goals?
Well, I was putting my kids to bed, so I unfortunately missed both of them. But I'm watching it now, and I mean, I check my phone usually because typically as I'm doing the bedtime process, I miss the first period. So I try to, you know, sneak a look at my phone if I know a game's on. And I thought I was reading it wrong when I saw Reeves scored with an assist from McKegg. I thought there had to be some sort of an error, especially because I was checking, especially because I think I bet Mika and Kreider to score first. So I was hoping I'd see one of them. But even though I didn't win money, I was pleasantly surprised to see Reeves finally got one. And then as I came downstairs, I saw he got another one. So I mean, it's awesome. He's been working his ass off since he's been here. I think he's been a great addition to the team. You know, he's brought a lot, I think, of character to the team and kind of, you know, turned us into that whole Wilson laughingstock last year. And I don't think it doesn't seem like anyone's really messing with the Rangers this year. It's like they all have a bit of a swagger knowing that Reeves has got their back. So I'm happy to see he finally got one. And I think he's been a great addition. I know a lot of people weren't too sure about it, but, you know, I think Gallant knew that that's his guy and he wanted to bring him back, and he's been playing well. So I can't complain. I'm happy to see him get it. And I hope he gets a few more. I hope he keeps it rolling.
Yeah, I've shit talked the fourth line a lot this season. Not that they haven't really contributed much, but you know, I really said, you know, they need to be able to put the puck in the net every so often. And finally, this game, they finally get two. This line is humming along. I just watched another shift where they had a couple, you know, shots on goal, and they're definitely pressuring a Toronto Maple Leaf team that doesn't really want to play defense. And I feel like if the Rangers can kind of just hold on here and just keep it close towards the end of the game, that anything's possible. That, you know, when the Rangers start getting a little bit more aggressive and, you know, have to take a little bit more chances, you know, I'm afraid Toronto will capitalize on, a counter. But, you know, late in the game, maybe they are concerned about trying to play defense, which they don't do so well, and that the Rangers might be able to squeak this one into overtime. But, yeah, you know, I feel like, I don't know how you feel about this, Frank, but I feel like the Rangers haven't played a ton of hockey. They've been out west. I kind of missed, you know, a few of those games. I'd watch the first period and then kind of fall asleep. And, you know, they didn't play that great until the end of the road trip. You know, I don't know. What did you think of that road trip? I said 3-2. That was a success. What were your thoughts, you know, as the Rangers, like, came home? And I felt like they were on, like, a little bit of vacation or a hiatus, but they were still playing games. And they still, you know, managed to get six big points on the road.
Yeah, it was definitely tough because we went from like that holiday break where everything was shut down. And I think they had a few games and then they went out west. And it's like, I mean, when I was like 23 and, you know, had no kids and could stay up late, those 10 o'clock games were even rough at that point. Now that I'm 33 and have kids, there's, I mean, me watching those games, they might as well not even be on because there's no chance I'm staying up. I mean, especially 10 o'clock, maybe I could make it through the first and then I fall asleep, you know, in periods, but 10:30, yeah, that's not happening. So yeah, I've kind of felt the same way. I felt like I haven't watched the game in a long time. So when they got back to Philly, which I know scheduling, it's hard to complain when some other teams have had some rough scheduling. I know the Islander fans have had their woes and had their complaints about the schedule, which, you know, I think you addressed it too. It's, I mean, it's their own fault. It's their arena's not ready. So what are you going to do? But to go out west and then come home back to the East Coast and have to play an away game against a division rival, I mean, it's kind of bullshit if you ask me, but whatever. They got the win. They looked a little sluggish in that game. I was a little worried. It looked kind of like maybe they weren't going to pull it out. But Rangers of old would have lost that game, you know, like that was a typical game. I'm watching it in my head. I'm going, Rangers, they're just going to lose. And in your head, it's kind of like, all right, they were traveling out west. They come back to the East Coast. Now they got another away game against the Flyers. And even though the Flyers stink, it's like, you know, they're still a rival. They still want to play the Rangers well. They're at home. And then, you know, coming back from the West Coast, it's not an easy transition. But this team got it done. You know, it wasn't pretty, but they figured it out and won. So you just got to be happy with a gritty win like that to finish that road trip. And you know, now they're back home playing Toronto, and the schedule is it's not looking any easier the next couple of games here. I think, what do they have, the Canes and maybe the Panthers coming up too or something like that? I can't even remember, but I know it's not easy.
Yeah, they go, well, they have the Hurricanes on Friday, and then they play Arizona the next day, which I think is kind of bullshit because they're away in Carolina, and then they're back home against away at Carolina on Friday, and then Saturday night they're back home against Arizona. And, you know, I was even telling Andy this. It's like if the Rangers somehow squeak out a miracle win against Carolina, you can chalk up Saturday against the Coyotes, who I believe, let me check right now,
beating the Devils.
Yeah, they're beating the Devils 3-1. So yeah. Arizona's going to come to the East Coast and just sweep everybody, of course. And they got about 12 points on the year. I'm not complaining about the scheduling. Obviously, everyone probably has a messed up schedule. But, like, the following week, they do the same thing. They're at Columbus, and then they have to travel back home against Minnesota for, you know, Henrik Lundqvist's retirement night. So it's just so annoying with the scheduling and the back-to-backs being a road game and then a home game. It's like, could you make it at least two home games in a row or two, you know, road games in a row? I mean, if you're traveling, you might as well travel and get those road games out of the way on a back-to-back. Just so stupid.
It really sucked. Like, I mean, we had the last 2 years with COVID, dealing with that, shortened seasons and a bubble and everything else. And then, you know, this year they get back to it and they're hoping to do, you know, a regular season. We'll see how that shakes out with all these postponed games going on in Canada. But, and then they have to have like kind of a condensed schedule packed in because of the Olympic break. And then turns out they're not going. So like those 3 weeks where all these games are probably jammed in, kind of like you're saying, a home and away, or away and then back home, and, you know, these, you know, away game after a long West Coast trip. It's like, that's not the norm, but I guess it's just kind of across the board. So it's not just us. It probably just seems like it's us because we focus more on the Rangers, but it definitely, you know, it sucks when the schedules are kind of wacky like that.
Yeah, and after that Minnesota game, that's Henrik Lundqvist night, you and I will be in attendance at home against the Seattle Kraken, a 1 p.m. game on a Saturday, which, or yeah, it's no, su- no, Sunday. Sunday, one Sunday. Yeah, Sunday. Oh my God, dude, that's the worst. Ugh. All right. I was in my head, I had it as a Saturday game, but Sunday, that's okay. I can get over that. Are you excited? Are you pumped up for that game?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I mean, hopefully it's a good one. The Kraken aren't too good. It'll be cool to see a new team. You know, it's always good. I live further upstate, so I don't really get to come down to games. So the few games I get to go to, you always hope for a good one. The Rangers should be able to pull out a win against the Kraken, I would hope. So hopefully we get to a game, have a few beers, and see Rangers win. Be fun to be back in MSG. It's been a while, so yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, and yeah, I haven't been to a game in a while. Same thing. I think the last game I went to was against the Minnesota Wild, where they came back. I believe I was actually with Patty. They came back from behind and tied the game, and then won the game late. You know, listen, for me, I feel like whenever I go to these games, they never, like, make it easy. And obviously the Seattle Kraken are kind of a shit team. If they lose against the Seattle Kraken after I haven't been to a game in multiple years, I am going to be extremely disappointed and let down.
So when we got those tickets, I mean, I was just looking for, again, I was saying, being further away, I can't just pop down to the city. It's a full day, especially, again, having kids and stuff. And Patty's coming down with me, so it'll be the three of us going to the game, right? So to coordinate it isn't always easy. So you find a weekend, day game, make it work. Then it's like, okay, they're playing the Kraken, so you're hoping they'll pull out a win. And then I didn't really, like, look at the schedule. And after we bought the tickets and everything, I looked, and I'm like, oh, that's right. So Hank's retirement jersey night is that Friday, so it's like you wonder, like, are they going to have like a letdown game after a big celebration like that? You know, it's just the thoughts deep start creeping in my head, especially after not being to a game. Plus, it's amazing the games I've gone to where they've completely blown it.
The last game you and I went to.
So I think I'm scarred. I'm scarred in that I've seen so many games. I think I was like, this is like going back years now, but I was at like that one Washington game where they were winning like a crazy amount and OV scored like a hat trick in the third and they like scored like
yeah.
So yeah, I've seen it firsthand. So I'm you know, again, probably a little scarred from my past experiences, but we'll see.
The last game we went to, I don't know, didn't they lose like 1-0 to the Montreal Canadiens? Like, we thought we couldn't even get like a goal. And I remember.
Oh yeah, so that's exactly what happened. So it was my wife's first ever Ranger game, and I was like, you know, all excited. I'm like, yeah, wait till you hear the gold song. Yeah. The gold song is so awesome. It's like, so we didn't hear the gold song at all because they didn't score a single goal. It went 0-0 into a shootout, and the Canadians won in a shootout. I mean, it was like worst game ever. My wife was like, yeah, I don't know if hockey games are for me. So,
you know, yeah, no.
There we go, Foxy.
Yeah, they scored. Yeah, oh my God! You. Yeah, you're like way ahead. Hold on, let's see how far ahead you are. All right, the puck goes into the zone. This is awful, awful podcasting here. Hopefully, it's pretty quick. So you know, I was, you know, thinking, obviously reminiscing and stuff like that about like all the different games that I went to. There it is. Fox just scored. Nice. All right.
I should tell you what happens and you bet it. Maybe it'll be.
Yeah. Maybe it'll still be live on DraftKings. Yeah,
apparently I'm too far ahead.
Yeah. No, so I was reminiscing about all the games like I've been to and, you know, some of the disappointing losses. But one of the ones that popped up for me was the outdoor game against the Philadelphia Flyers that I was at. And, you know, that was, you know, talk about like, that was probably the biggest moment for me watching the Rangers. Like, that still kind of showed today. Like, usually I'm there for a historically bad game or a game where it's just there's nothing happening. But going to the outdoor game against Philly, you know, I just saw, obviously, with, you know, it being like Henrik Lundqvist month, that they just showed him stopping Barriere in that penalty shot, and you know, them getting a big win. Not that this is even in comparison, but I'm just asking, are you excited to see like a new Seattle Kraken team? Because like obviously this game will be, you know, not memorable, but memorable in terms of, you know, going to see a new franchise for the first time at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. It's like the little kid in you, I guess, still like as a fan. I mean, it's a new team, you know, new jerseys and stuff like that. It's their first time being in the Garden. So, yeah, it's pretty I'm excited to see it and be interesting to see what they bring. I mean, they have good players, right? And they've had some pretty close games and stuff like that. So I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for the Rangers.
Never.
So I'm hoping it's a win, and I'm hoping it's a good game. You know, I mean, obviously you want your team to win, but if they blow them out like 6-0, I guess that's cool, but I don't know how exciting it is. So, we'll see. It'll just be, like you said, just be nice. I was at like one of the last home games before things got shut down for COVID. They played the Blues. It was a 1-1 game. And then Georgiev let in like a shot from like the, you know, behind the goal line. It like hit his pad and went in. So it was like a perfect example of like the type of letdown, like awful loss type of game. They were out playing the Blues too. And yeah, it was it sucked. And then of course the whole world shut down like right after that happened. So haven't been to a game since, and I'm hoping this one has a better outcome. And yeah, it'll be fun either way.
So, fun little fact, I was actually at the Golden Knights' first game at the Garden too, so I'm making it 2 in a row here, knock on wood.
How did that go?
They lost, I'm pretty sure. I remember it actually being pretty a lot closer than I thought, and I remember actually I was with my sister. And she was like, shouldn't they be killing this team? Like, don't they suck? I'm like, they're actually, like, the best team in the league. So,
yeah. I mean, they did go to the Stanley Cup final, right?
Yeah.
So,
I think they lost. They either lost or they, like, won in overtime. I should actually remember. But I remember it not being – I remember them being down and them scoring because I was sitting behind the net. And the Golden Knights scored, I think, twice right in front of me. So, I remember just kind of being pissed off. But I could be wrong. I got to check this out.
So I'm the other thing that I'm thinking too, because I have yet to see, obviously, Shesterkin play in net, and I'm thinking about it. It's almost 100% guarantee he's going to be in net on Hank night. So, and since the Kraken stink, I just have a feeling Georgiev is going to be in net for that game, which I could. I mean, obviously, I hope I'm wrong, but I'd much rather see Shesterkin in person if we could. It'd be my first time seeing him live, but we'll see. I have a feeling he's going to be on the bench.
Yeah, probably. I mean, you're probably not wrong. The only way to really find out here, let's see if they have, because they do have a day off in between, and Gallant actually is pretty good at just like rolling with the flow. Yeah, they play the Panthers on that following Tuesday. So, yeah, we'll definitely get Georgie in net.
The NFL playoffs are here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is kicking things off with a huge offer. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any wildcard team to win their game. Wow, okay. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team is victorious. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you still have something to play for this wildcard weekend, because everyone can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings daily fantasy football contests. All you have to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code THPN, as in the Hockey Podcast Network, and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Again, bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. And that's with promo code THPN this wildcard weekend at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. You must be 21 or older to enter. New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
another thing, the Rangers' schedule came out. I guess I should talk about this on the podcast because it actually is pretty decent news. February 15th, Boston Bruins are at the New York Rangers. That got moved from April 24th. And then February 17th, the postponed game from December 27th, Rangers hosting the Red Wings. And then February 20th, Rangers will be at the Ottawa Senators. That's the postponement from November 20th. And then the Montreal Canadiens will be in town on April 27th, which is the postponed game from December 22nd. Obviously the Rangers won't be playing that much in February, which it kind of makes it a little bit, kind of buzz. They won't play from the 2nd all the way until the 15th. It's just the way the kind of schedule goes. I mentioned this on the podcast last week. I don't know if you listened. Hopefully you did. Otherwise, that'll be awkward.
I believe I did listen to last week's episode, but what are you?
No, I'm saying, I think it's kind of an advantage to have like a lighter schedule in February and then kind of gear up for, a March run and a March and April run towards the end of the season, only because the Rangers are in a pretty good spot right now, points wise. I think teams, cramming these games, the schedules are probably not going to be great, but I do think, the Rangers are a younger team. It's almost like a little bit of a breather here to kind of, refresh and, revamp and kind of, go into that last, third of the season in a full out sprint, in terms of being placed in the standing. So, do you think that's an advantage or disadvantage for the Rangers given the light schedule?
No, I think it's an advantage. Like Rangers came out so hot, right? And they're still playing well. But I would say, they've had a few more losses here and there. So they've cooled off a little bit. I know we went through that little stretch there where you were, what was the word you used for it? When
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Well, the cleansing week.
The cleansing week. Yeah, there it is. The cleansing week. So they had their cleansing week, which I was right there with you. I think I was texting you just kind of saying this is going to be a rough patch here. You just knew it was coming, but they got through it. They're playing better. But they're a young team, and you just kind of want, it gives it, especially with like COVID and stuff, gives everybody a chance to kind of like catch up, get healthy. It seems like, Panarin, since he's been back from COVID, he hasn't been bad, but he hasn't been, the Panarin we've seen, earlier in the season or the last 2 years. So it'd be nice, maybe give him a little rest, get him caught up and ready to go for the end of the season. I mean, if you get a hot Panarin towards the end of the year and into the playoffs, it's kind of like getting a whole new player, it can only help them. So yeah, I think being a young team, in a good spot, I think the break is good. I think it's teams that are trying to get back into it. Maybe a team like the Islanders who might, seems like they've strung a few wins together, finally getting some games back under them. And I'd imagine they're going to have a lot more games in February because they got to catch up, but it's rough to just get games thrown on a schedule and now you're playing catch up. So I don't know. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. Obviously they're towards the bottom of the standings, so you don't want to be in their shoes anyway, but to play catch up, it's like, everybody expected them to be so good this year and it just hasn't been the case. So I think they will turn it around. I think they might make it closer than most people think, but I think if they just buried themselves too deep, I think what the top eight that we see right now is going to be the top eight. It's just going to be how it all shakes out. I mean, the Rangers could fall to the wild card. They could stay in that third spot. Penguins never ever lose, so they could be in first place when it's all said and done. I don't know if they can overtake the Canes, but I wouldn't be surprised to see the Canes, the Penguins, and then it's either going to be Washington or the Rangers, I think, in that third spot. So we'll see. I mean, Washington, they've got experience. They're a good team. Seems like they're kind of cooling off a little bit too, just from what I've seen. But when you have all that experience, it's the same thing with the Pens. They just know what they got to do and they'll get it done. So, what are your thoughts, I guess, this far, over the season? What do you like? What don't you like? And then I guess I have two questions for you. What are your thoughts? What do you like? What don't you like? And then going into the playoffs, if this is the top eight, who are you comfortable playing? Who do you think we could beat? Who do you think we just don't have a shot against? And I think last time you kind of said the Canes are scare you, which I mean, rightfully so. They're probably the best team in the league. But what are your thoughts on those two questions?
Okay. So what I like is I like our style of play in the season so far, because I think it can translate pretty well in the playoffs. You know, I always thought, you know, even if the Rangers made it over the last couple of years, that they would be ineffective, and they pretty much have been ineffective in the playoffs. I mean, the only, you know, opportunity that they really had to play postseason games with this, you know, kind of core group was against the Carolina Hurricanes, and that wasn't even like they didn't have a, you know, a snowball's chance in hell. So that's what I like. I like the style of play because I think it can translate pretty well. I wouldn't want to play the New York Rangers. The one thing I don't like our depth right now. I really do think that we need to make a couple changes. We need someone to solidify the third pairing on defense, and we need another depth forward. Losing Sammy Blais, it sucks every day. And thinking about being able to have him right now, especially with just how the team is going and how close they are, and just having an energetic, you know, guy that's not afraid to throw a hit, give a hit, and just, you know, hustle his ass off every game. You know, we really need that right now. And, you know, it sucks to miss him. So that's what I don't like. I don't like our depth, but it's something that can be addressed at the trade deadline. So I'm not overly concerned about it right now. To talk a little bit about the playoff matchups, I was actually thinking about this today because on my way home from work, just before work, Andy, as I work with Andy was telling me about Marchand's jab at the Carolina Hurricanes, basically saying they're the reason why they have to pay 20% in escrow because, you know, they're an organization that, you know, can't survive on its own. So they basically, you know, that, you know, franchises like the Rangers and the Bruins have to take care of them, which I thought was really funny. So if the hockey gods were kind, Frank, this is what an ideal standings for me. And I'm sure I'm going to get shellac from every listener, but let's just hear me out with this, okay?
I'm listening.
Carolina would be the one seed playing Boston, who gets the number Carolina gets the one seed. Boston Bruins get the last wild card. So you have Carolina and Boston playing each other, right? Rivalry matchup. Yep. Then you have the Rangers in the first wild card spot. Revenge series against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Right? I can see that happening. Okay. So the Rangers can finally get revenge off of getting shut out at home back-to-back playoff games against this fucking Tampa Bay Lightning. And then you'll have the Florida Panthers and Toronto Maple Leafs. And that'll be a fun series only because nobody cares in Florida and everyone cares in Toronto. And then Florida's going to beat them. And just what a storyline that will be. Like, Toronto will burn to the ground, and Florida literally will wake up not even knowing that they have a hockey team that made it to the second round of the playoffs. And then you'll have
right.
And then you'll have a Pittsburgh Capitals series, which I think would be a lot of fun, having, you know, Ovechkin and Crosby play against each other as, you know, as almost like a
could be the last time. Yeah.
Yeah. Until 5 years from now, we're still fucking talking about those two.
Right. And we say that every year, and then it's like, oh, they're
still really both really good. So I just think if you gave me all of those series, that would be the most ideal. I don't know. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do agree with that. I've been thinking about it as well, just because I've looked at the standings and I'm like, all right, barring some sort of like collapse by one of these eight teams and then like an insane run by one of these teams that's out, and the only team I think that could do that is maybe the Islanders at this point. It's like I said, it seems like the top eight are ready to go. So I'm looking at the top eight going, who do we want to play? Who can we beat? And it's like, all right, our top two lines, you know, are great, right? And our top two pairs of defensemen, great. Miller, he's maybe had a bit of a rough patch the last few games and has some growing pains, but he's young And you hope that he's just kind of learning from it. Come playoffs, he'll be ready to go. He's paired up with Trouba. We all want to see playoff Trouba, like you've said. So I think they'll be okay. It's our bottom two pairs there, our bottom two lines, and our third defensive pair that's like, man, you know how important it is in the playoffs to get that secondary scoring from those guys and those lines. And the Rangers just don't really have it right now. And I'm saying that on a night that Reeves scores two goals, but it's, you know, that's not something that we see very often. It's, you know, it's Mika, it's Strome, it's Panarin, it's Kreider. I mean, that's it. And then Fox thrown in on D, that's who scores. I mean, it's like every single night. So it would be nice if we can get that third line going, whether it's a trade for someone that they could bring in, that could put the puck in and play the body a little more and maybe get some of those other guys going. Greg McKegg, if he's on our fourth line going into playoffs, I don't know how great I feel about that. It's, but we'll see what happens. But when I look at like Pittsburgh, Washington, I think we could beat both of those teams mainly because we have Shesterkin in net. I mean, he's the best goalie in the NHL this year. You know, it's the same reason why when we would go in the playoffs in years past and we had Lundqvist in net, I felt pretty confident. So if you could have the best player on your team be your goalie in the playoffs and he's hot at that time, it's tough for other teams to play against you. I think we play a good system. And, you know, if we could just get something going on that third line, I think we could really beat a good amount of these teams. The Panthers worry me. The Hurricanes worry me. Other than that, I'd say we got a shot against anybody else. And I don't dislike that matchup you said. I really don't think that. And now it's like, oh, you talked about the back-to-back Stanley Cup champions and one of the best teams in the league. It's like, yeah, I mean, exactly. Almost for that reason, like, they lost some of their depth guys. I know they haven't skipped a beat in the regular season, but come playoffs times, we got Goodrow. They don't, you know, and a guy like Goodrow is a great player to have in the playoffs. Obviously, he showed that the last 2 years. So they've had two long runs into the playoffs, and won two Stanley Cups. So it, you know, it's hard for a team to repeat, let alone three-peat. So it sounds like the type of year for the, Tampa Bay Lightning have an early playoff exit. So, and I think the Rangers could be the reason for that. So yeah, I agree with you. I think that'd be a good matchup and I could see that all coming to fruition. I mean, it's all very possible.
Yeah. And I think at this point, it really doesn't matter where you are in the standings. I really think, you know, part of me is like, well, would you rather play Pittsburgh and Washington with home ice advantage? And I'm like, well, Rangers normally don't have great home ice advantage, especially in the playoffs. I feel like years past, you know, like I mentioned before, like the Tampa Bay Lightning came into our building and shut us out back-to-back games at the Garden where the Rangers won on the road. So it was like, you know, again, this could just be me being scarred, but I don't really care that much about home ice advantage. I just care about making the playoffs. And where we are in the standings really, to me, doesn't really make a difference. It's picking your poison at this point. And, you know, like you said, it's kind of like if your goaltender's hot, you can beat anybody. And the Rangers are going to have to play their best hockey of the season to beat any of these teams. I don't care if it's Washington or Carolina, whoever the Rangers play, they're going to have to play their best hockey to beat them. And there's no easy outs. And, you know, for me, you know, I know this team is young and stuff like that, but this is the type of experience that you want. You want them to play against, you know, the league's best teams and, you know, to show them what the standard is to win a Stanley Cup. And especially a first round matchup against the Tampa Bay Lightning, back-to-back Stanley Cup champions, it'd be a great experience for our young core group and, you know, be able to go into that building and beat that team. I think would give a huge amount of confidence also to the rest of the squad saying, listen, we beat the team that just won the Stanley Cup twice in a row. We can beat anybody. So, you know, there's that point too that I think would be huge for the New York Rangers. I had a question for you, but now I kind of forget. It had to do with the All-Star game. So are we done with the standings and playoffs?
Yeah,
we're okay. All right, we can move on. The one question I had for you, and you know, obviously Mika declined going to the All-Star game. We are sending Kreider and Fox, and again, I mentioned the last podcast. Finally, great to not have just Henrik Lundqvist represent us. We actually have a forward and a defenseman, and you know, that's kind of fun. We actually could have had two forwards, but you know, obviously for personal reasons, he didn't want to go. First off, do you like the All-Star game? Is it something that you would go out of your way to watch? Or are you one of those guys that is like, it's kind of a joke and they should do something else besides like the stupid skills competition and All-Star game with the three?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's I don't like hate it, but it, you know, it's just, it's like for like kids, you know, it's like I loved watching the skills competition when I was a kid. Even as a kid, the game was just kind of like, you know, nobody hits unless Roenick was in it. He would throw a check every once in a while back in the day. But you know, it's like, you know, what is it normally a score? Like 7-5, you know, something like that, sometimes even higher. So yeah, it's kind of fun. You see some guys who are some of the best in the league get together and play. I guess it's cool when you have your team represented with a few different players. Like you said, it was normally just Lundqvist for us for a long time. I think wasn't Dan Girardi an All-Star at one point? So, you know, kind of like I know a few players were complaining because Kadri's not in it, and a few players from the Avs, or maybe it was just Landeskog, I forget, or McKinnon. But they were like, I mean, the fact that he's not an All-Star is basically bullshit. And, you know, it shouldn't just be like, just you have to have someone from your team go or a representative. It should be the best players in the league, which I kind of get. I mean, people are also kind of saying like Shesterkin's not in it. He's literally the best goalie in the NHL this year. So the best goalie in the NHL currently is not going to the All-Star game. So what sense does that make? But I also get, you have fans from every team and they want to see their one player, you know, represented in the game. So again, it's like, it's just for the fans. It's for kids. They want to be able to, you know, if you're a fan of the Devils, you want to, and you're a kid, you want to wear your Jack Hughes jersey and watch them play in the All-Star game. And that's what it's all about. So do I like it? You know, I'm probably won't watch it. Honestly, maybe if it's on, I'll have it on the TV while I'm doing some stuff. But, you know, it's I think it's a good thing to have. You got to have your All-Star game. I mean, every league has it. So cool thing for the players and probably a good thing for kids.
Yeah. So Kadri actually got the last man in.
Oh, did he? End
yeah, he got it. Right. I just looked it up now because I was trying to find out who went in the Benajet spot. And so the last men in are Kadri, Stamkos, Terry, and Getzel. All got the nods for the All-Star game.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't hate it. I don't know. The 3-on-3 doesn't really bother me, but there's a part of me that wants to see just the normal 5-on-5 game, like East versus West, or even like even if they rotate it every year, you know, make it, you know, North America versus World. Like that's kind of stuff was like right. Fun as a kid, right?
Yeah, what did they do that like in the 90s or something like that, was it? Or
yeah.
Like maybe like
the it was early late 2000s? Like late 90s, early 2000s, they would do like North America versus World, and they did different things. Like, and I just feel like, you know, the NHL should just like change it up, like, you know, or make it East versus West, and, you know, I don't know. I get the whole tournament. I guess that's cool, but for me, like if they did that every, you know, fourth year, that would be fine. Like change it up, like make it new every year. There's no reason it needs to be the same. There doesn't need to be tradition. It's the stupid All-Star game. And you know, honestly, they can probably get rid of the skills competition. I mean, I honestly don't even know anyone who actually watches that.
No. And I, so the one good thing about it is, I guess, like Valquette was talking about it, like, yeah, I mean, Shesterkin should be in, but you're probably happy he's not, because how many goalies have lost their confidence? You know, their NHL goalies are competitive, and then they're competing on like 3-on-0s, and then, you know, nobody's playing defense, so you know, they're putting an effort in, yet they're
Well, usually Russians hate the All-Star game anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, typically, right? Because didn't Ovi not go a bunch of years?
I think he's like probably forced to go now.
Right. But sorry, I'm like watching the game and I'm ahead of you, so I'm trying not to react here. So I mean, the All-Star game, it just is what it is. It's like if they didn't have it, or even if they did it, I guess it's just a good break for the players in the middle of the season, right? It's a good excuse. I'm sure the players that go, it's a cool experience. I'm sure a lot of them wish they just had the break instead of having to go and do it. But, it is what it is. I guess the NFL kind of does it cool where they go to Hawaii and then, you know, do it after the season's over. So guys don't have to do it in the middle of the season. But I don't know if NHL guys would really want to be doing that after the season's over anyway. So, yeah, I think it just kind of is what it is as far as the All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean, that would be actually pretty cool. Do it on maybe in between the, you know, conference finals and the Stanley Cup finals, like kind of schedule something. And then, you know, obviously the teams that are in it, like they don't have players that, you know, are represented, which is fine because who gives a shit at the end of the day?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I guess the only hard thing is like the NHL probably has more international guys than most of the other leagues. So a lot of those guys might be just wanting to go back to their country. So you'd probably have, I mean, Russians don't want to do it now. Definitely wouldn't do it if it was after the season was over. So
yeah, I just came up with the worst idea of all time. So keep it in February where no one really wants to do anything.
Keep it in February. Nobody's ever watched it. No one is going to watch it, no matter what jerseys they wear, no matter what matchups they do. It's just is what it is. And we've probably spoken too much about it.
Yeah. But, all right, so we're pretty much, I got to get this podcast over to Andy so he can work his magic. I'm going to leave you to wrap it up here. Any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. All right. My final thoughts are this. I think the team's great. I'm happy the way they're playing. I'm happy that, you know, we should be in the playoffs and we're becoming one of the better teams in the league. I guess you know me. I'm a bit of a pessimist at times with the Rangers, and you're usually on the same page as me. But and Pat mentioned it. You've mentioned it. I just want more from Kako. I want more from Lafreniere. I know they're young. I know we're still winning without them putting up a bunch of numbers and being the players we wanted them to be. So I'm hoping they're taking this time to figure it out, get some experience with these guys. And I'm hoping when they do figure it out, we're just that much better. And that brings us to the next level. But I'm not going to lie, it worries me a little bit. There's just aspects of their game that I don't see that I was expecting to see by now. There's times that I just feel like Kako doesn't want the puck, the way he skates around. A guy who's hungry for the puck skates a different way than he does. He seems like he's gliding around. It's almost like he's looking for the pass, but in his head, he doesn't want it. It's just a guy who doesn't have confidence. You know, it's like, I could be totally wrong. I hope they turn out. I hope they prove me wrong. I hope they turn out to be amazing NHL players. And like I said, they bring us to that next level when they start, you know, putting 25 plus goals in the net and really making plays that we've seen them make in the highlights when they got drafted and being the players we expected them to be. But I'm not going to pretend like I'm not a little worried, and I'm not going to pretend like if next year they're not showing those signs that, you know, if McDavid wants out of the Oilers, I ship both of them out with probably half of the other players on the team to get them. So, you know, I don't know what your thoughts are on that. I think you probably feel the same way, but I think it's time for these guys to start stepping up a little bit more. I know Kako had it a little bit earlier in the season, and I thought he was really kind of coming into his own, but then he's kind of been quiet again. So, and, you know, he makes a few good plays, and it's Pat said it when he was on, like, I feel like I'm just cheering for them to do something relatively routine when they're the first and second picks in the draft, and they should be doing more than just routine stuff. They should be on another level, or getting to that next level. So that's my thoughts. I hope those guys pick it up. I hope I'm wrong and they're not busts. And I hope they, if they do pick it up, this team will, you know, will be one of those top five teams in the league that will be competing for the Stanley Cup. But if they don't get to that level, it's going to be hard to get there, I think. I mean, when you have the 1 and 2 pick, that's what you expect. You saw it, you know, with Taves and Kane. You saw it with Crosby and Malkin. You saw it with Backstrom and Ovechkin. You know, they got those guys. They won the cup. We got those picks, and we got those guys. So I hope that's what happens.
All right, a man, a few words. Frank, thank you for coming on, and I guess we'll see you next time. Hopefully Andy will be moved in, and we'll get Andy back on here. So, all right, take care, everyone. Hopefully the Rangers get this win. And, yep, thank you. Thank you, Frank. Anytime. You might be on the next podcast, too.
Yeah, just make sure you don't have a fan blowing into this one.
Yeah, no, the air is completely off this time.
All right, buddy.
All right,
go Rangers.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.